Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about yourself?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the concept of prayer and what most of us would call communication with a higher power. In this show, we will explore some reasons why most prayers don't seem to get answered. Listen as we explain the difference between praying and praying on the divine. Talk is very different than communion. Divine law is perfect, complete, ever satisfying, and always successful. So what is it we are accepting? Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are Talking Consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience oneness with the divine. Swami, I see today's title of the show is Effective Communication with the Divine. In your experience, what do you think effective communication with the divine means? What does it look like?
Well, I think what we're really striving for here in Kriya Yoga anyway is this union with the divine, this oneness with the divine. Not so much that I can talk to this spiritual fountainhead, but that I can actually live and move and have my being in this divine presence.
Now, is that what you mean? When I said earlier in the summary that the concept of prayer and what most of us would call communication with a higher power?
Yeah, I think so. But I also think that what you also said, listen as they explain the difference between praying, which is P-R-A-Y, and praying, which is P-R-E-Y, on the divine. In this model, when we talk about praying, we really want to talk about using divine presence to sustain ourselves, that becomes your source of sustenance. That becomes your symbol for validation. It's your life source. And so we desire it. We love it. And having that type of relationship with this invisible, intangible presence is what we're talking about.
I have here a definition from dictionary.com of what prayer is, and it says a devout petition to God or an object of worship, or a spiritual communion with God or an object of worship, the act or practice of praying to God or an object of worship. So I think you talked about some of that already, but what I find interesting was that it said an object of worship, and that is clearly in the Bible that we're not supposed to pray or worship objects.
Right. And so, again, you're working with a dictionary definition, and we want to work with something that's a little bit more applicable to what we're doing as far as apotheosis, this process of the human becoming divine. In order to do that, you can't do that academically. You can't be a human being speaking to this higher power, looking for favors, looking for this higher power to do something for you. And that's what we're talking about. Why most of what we call praying doesn't really seem to work, because it doesn't work like that. When you start out with something that doesn't work that way, you're working with belief. You want to believe that it works that way, but your belief will only take you so far. And what we're working with here is this developmental process where belief in truth becomes faith in truth, which becomes spiritual understanding. There's an evidence procedure that accompanies this, that you actually start to demonstrate this divine law. If we're interested in being supported by this divine law, we must understand that divine law can only support divine life. The law of divinity exists where divine self is. So we have to put off this mortal, finite identity, and we have to put on this immortal, spiritual sense of selfhood. That's the only way that we can really communicate with this divine presence.
I know there may be a lot of people out there that are discouraged with the act of praying. Maybe their lives may not be going according to their plan or whatever it might be. And maybe they feel that their prayers are not being answered. How would you counsel somebody that maybe is thinking along those lines?
Well, that's what I had said earlier. I mean, you can't think that God is this higher power that's going to help you with your human experience. So you're starting out with a template that isn't going to work, that in order for you to get any kind of result out of divine presence, you have to accept it as a principle. You have to understand that spirit is a consciousness. It is a real principle, and it's the only power in this universe, and it's absolute goodness. If what you're experiencing in your life does not have the qualities or the fruits of spirit, which would be absolute goodness, absolute harmony, abundance, total peace and tranquility, then there's something missing. You're going to find your problems do not exist in this divine consciousness, that your problems exist in your thoughts about what is here. If we continue to work on a human level and keep working with mortal mind and our carnal thoughts, working with the testimony of our five senses, and we think that there is this power outside of ourselves that we can petition and ask to help us, then you're going to find that your prayers will be a crapshoot. Because the only thing that will affect your thoughts at that level is belief. Belief is what gives this false sense of existence the appearance of power, because you can change finite bad to finite good, but what you're not going to get is the protection of divine law. You're not going to rise out of the jurisdiction of material law, karmic law, because you still have a belief in two powers. You still have a sense of separateness from this divine. And from that level of understanding, you're not going to really be able to demonstrate this divine law. But if you can start to figure it out, you're going to have to change. And you're going to have to change dramatically from the way that you thought that this worked. And you're going to have to figure out how it really does work. Like I had said, divine law can only support divine life. And in order for me to be able to communicate with this divine presence, I have to lift myself out of this belief in mortality and accept my immortality. I have to come out of the belief in matter and understand that I am an eternal spiritual being. Again, that's not just a declaration that you're going to make. It's not just academic statement that you can make. But it is something that you are going to have to prove, that you are genuinely knowing that you are the expression of an indestructible principle.
Billy Graham is quoted as saying, "Prayer is simply a two-way conversation between you and God. And I think you're saying that if we think that there is matter and spirit, then we're already behind the eight ball here.
Right. The minute you think that there is a you and God, because in order for this to work as a principle, you must understand that God is all. And if God is all, who are you? Who am I? And so we have to come out of this belief, this divided consciousness. We have to come out of this belief in duality, accepting this separate sense of self, and start to identify with this one divine life. In that process of us coming out of this false sense of existence, and we start to accept the truth of our being, then the truth will start to communicate with us. This divine presence will reveal itself to you from within. From there on, once you make that internal connection, then you will be living under the government of divine law.
Well, I have a question for you, and this I'm getting from the Bible app from YouVersion. It lists simply what they believe prayer is, and one of the things they say is getting to know God. And the other thing they say, one of the things they say is listening to God speak truths to our spirit. And I kind of wanted to get what you think that might mean.
Right. I agree with that 100%. That's exactly what we must do. We must know God, and we must know God aright. And then the second one that you had said was listening to God speak truths to our spirit. That's exactly right. Once we start to understand that we are eternal spiritual beings, and we move from material values and material beliefs, and we start to live out from spiritual sense, and we start to understand the truth of being, then most of our praying is just keeping our mind an avenue of awareness for this divine presence, and then it is just patiently waiting on the Word of God, waiting on this divine presence, letting it recognize you, and then it will start to express itself through you.
I know we have talked about what the Bible says is ceaseless prayer. So a few other items on the YouVersion, what prayer simply is expressing our gratitude by thanking God and observing God in creation and praising Him. That, to me, would be part of this ceaseless prayer, always putting God first.
Right. The Yoga Sutras address that similarly in that they talk about constant practice of detachment and continuous control of the thought variations. Then in order for us to really communicate with divine mind, we have to understand that we have to forsake human thinking. The human thinks in the rational. We think in duality. And the divine thinks in terms of the absolute. Spirit is whole. It's complete. It's fulfilled. It's eternal. And we must make our thoughts buoyant so that we can match that level of understanding. We have to let go of our material moorings and start to raise our consciousness so that we can find that place where our thought is the same as the divine idea. Because divine presence is pouring out its wisdom, its love, its life continuously. But you have to understand that that does not report in your five-sense mind. We are completely unconscious to that presence until we can learn how to communicate with it.
Well, we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
No. couple of mornings, like, you know what? I'm tired.
Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, before the break, you had mentioned about the five senses. So I was wondering maybe if we could dig a little deeper with that.
Yeah, well, what we're trying to do here is we're trying to come out of the human modes of thinking, mortal thought. We're trying to shift from material values to spiritual values. That requires the overcoming, and I really like, I have a quote here from Herb Fitch in Revelations of St. John. He says, "The overcoming unto death is developing the capacity to overcome your own five senses until they are dead as a determining factor of your existence." Now, what that means is that we are no longer using the external senses to validate this false sense of who we think we are with a feeling of well-being, that we literally have to put off the old man. We have to give up a belief in matter and assume spiritual identity. That's what we mean by coming out of these five senses, that the testimony of your five senses is the devil that the Bible is talking about, that that is what is preventing us from seeing the truth of being.
And that's actually what we mean by evil.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And sin.
Right. Well, I see that we have another quote from Herb Fitch. Maybe we can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, from Revelations of St. John, this is class 4A, he says, "We are told that we can walk this earth perfect and now. And we are given the opportunity to do that if we wish to be called the Son of God and to live under the government of God. We are asked further not to read it and to understand it, but to make it the actual way we live every day." So in Revelations, they really talk about to read, to hear, and to keep, that we must practice this relationship. Union with the divine is a demonstrable principle. It's not something that you believe in and then hope that you're going to get some sort of reward for this fidelity to this, whatever it is that you believe in as far as this higher power is concerned. That divine presence is a demonstrable principle, and we can actually start to demonstrate it by revealing that. And those revelations will be experienced as changes in the external images and forms that we're experiencing.
Well, that first line where he says, we can walk this earth perfect in now, reminds me of what we've been talking a lot lately about, the here and now, knowing that this divine spirit is here right now, right here and right now.
Right. And that's exactly what we have to do, though, is we have to attune ourselves to that. And what we have to understand is that your five senses are completely unconscious to that divine presence, that we have to cultivate spiritual sense. That could be called or referred to as the Christ. The Christ is what makes divine presence intelligible to human consciousness. And so that's the spirit within. And we have to turn within and we have to start out with a belief that this divine presence is all. And that word of God that is being poured out continuously, if we have spiritual understanding, will become intelligible to us. But until then, most of us are operating from these modes of mortal thought, working with a five-sense mind, and we're unconscious to this divine presence. And as a result of us being unconscious to it, we're not under the protection of it. And all of the pleading and asking and everything else that we do becomes ineffectual because spirit only knows spirit. It only communicates with itself.
Now, when he says not to read it and to understand it, but to make it the actual way we live every day, is he saying for us not to intellectualize our relationship with spirit and to practice being one with spirit?
Right. But the other thing is that we must be aware of this divine presence, and then we must prove it. We must demonstrate the presence of the divine. And how do you prove that? By the fruits. By being able to fill your experience with these divine qualities. Peace, love, goodness, kindness, gentleness. These are all the things that will start to pour into your experiences. But you can't just think that you're spiritual. You must know this to be true.
Well, I wanted to ask you about the hidden meaning of the five porches and shading the five senses.
Right, that is a piece in the Bible. In John 5:2, now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halted, withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. Now, what they're really talking about here are the five senses. They're talking about our five senses. And if you understand what a porch does, a porch kind of shades you from the fullness of the sun. And so the five senses really do almost exactly that. They become a barrier between us and the fullness of this divine presence. In that limited perspective, in our five sense thoughts, lay all of these problems that they're talking about. And so what we want to learn how to do is forsake this human thinking and exchange it for this divine knowing. Herb Fitch says in Revelations of St. John, separated from your reality, the Christ, by the veil of the senses, we walk in a sense of mortality, though we are now immortal being. And that's what we really want to start to understand, that we are an eternal spiritual being, but that has to become your principle, You have to start with that. You have to know that to be true. From that perspective, you can start to come out of that false sense of who we are.
It seems like he even further explains that in the next quote that we have from Herb Fitch.
Right. To overcome the belief that I could be less than what I am is the path that we are moving into with increasing depth. And we are told that when this invisible kingdom, present here now, is an accepted fact in our consciousness, that every problem that leads to death must be eliminated because death itself is eliminated. He continues in that work. And one of the reasons why we're not communicating with the divine, he tells us that in our five sense thoughts, looking through the finite physical eye, the finite physical ear, the finite physical sense of touch, we have become aware only of our finite level of perception instead of becoming aware of the infinite Father's reality. But remove the five senses and let that Christ sense, the single eye, become your five senses, and you are aware of the infinity. And then you are not aware of mortality or of death or of birth or of defects or of any form of imperfection. All these negative things are only in the eye of the finite beholder. And we are told that we can come out of the finite beholding into the infinite beholding through the Christ mind, which is the single eye.
And that's us raising our consciousness to this Christ consciousness level.
Right. And finding that place where our thought is the same as the divine idea, because what we basically want to do is let divine mind take over the scientific government of our being. We want to let this divine presence express itself through us.
Well, we have a passage here from the Bible, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, and that is, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And I wonder if I can get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about, that we must learn to think with God as God. We have to come out of the changing conditions of our personal mentality, our ability to form thoughts and opinions based on this dualistic belief in two powers. And we have to understand life from the perspective of the one divine life, that there is only one mind and its absolute goodness, its absolute harmony, its eternal life, absolute love. And the more fidelity that we can have to this, then the easier it becomes for us to demonstrate it. But we have to start by accepting the simple fact that you are an eternal spiritual being.
Well, with that, we're going to start closing down our show for today. So listeners, please visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. And from there, you can access the Blog Talk radio show catalog page. And then also don't forget the online classes tab. You can access Swami's free class that he has on Wednesdays if you'd like to chat with him about any of the programs or any of the conversations that we have on the show. So Swami, with that, do you have any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage everybody to make their mind an avenue of awareness for the presence of divine mind and let that divine wisdom guide you from within. And with that, namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.